Good morning, everyone.
I'm so glad we can. I can see everyone here this morning and worship together.
Is it okay? Yeah. All right. Yeah. I guess
they hope the pastor can sing also.
So we can join the worship team and yeah. Yeah, it's good to be here, and I'm grateful that for the opportunity to share with you from God's Word. And please turn your Bible to Matthew 20, and we're going to look at this parable of the workers or laborers of the vineyard. I haven't checked if Pastor Vincent touched on this passage before, but we're going to look at it from a perspective that would strengthen our conviction to serve the Lord. Our theme this year is Stronger Together. Do you know that? It's on the front page of your bulletin. Every Sunday you see that. We are stronger together with Christ. We're stronger together to serve. We're stronger together to love. We're stronger together to witness for God. So on this second quarter, our major emphasis about serving, that we will be stronger together if we are in Christ and with each other serving the Lord. But the attitude of serving is so crucial, and that takes Jesus the whole three years to try to teach his disciples the right perspective. And I read extensively, and many sermons touch on this passage is about this question about the unfairness in life. But I think it's not just that fact, but it's also the other important fact that even life is unfair, but we can praise God, because in this passage Jesus told this passage not to discourage us about this cruel fact, but also to encourage us to see from a heavenly perspective. So when I study this passage, I think of this jokes that I heard before. It's about taxi driver in heaven. But I imagine it better if it's not a taxi driver, but a bus driver. So allow me to change it from a taxi driver to a bus driver. The story was told about a pastor and a bus driver, both Christians, and both died, and they went to heaven. And Angel Gabriel was at the gate waiting for them. And then the Angel Gabriel said to the bus driver, "Come with me." So the bus driver did follow Angel Gabriel, and he was led to a mansion. You know, the mansion had everything that you could imagine, you know, from bowling alley to Olympic-sized swimming pool. Okay. The bus driver said, "Wow, thank you. I didn't expect that." And then the pastor came along, and Angel Gabriel led the pastor, and he followed Angel Gabriel to a small shack, a very tiny wooden shack. Okay. And then nothing but a bunk bed and an old TV set. So the pastor said, "Wait, I think Angel Gabriel, I think you got a little mixed up, right? Shouldn't I be the one who gets the mansion? After all, I was a pastor, and I went to church every day. I did a lot of things, and I preached God's word." But Angel Gabriel said, "Well, that's true. But when you preach, people slept. When the bus driver drove, everybody pray." Is it fair? It's not fair. But it's just a joke. But over time, convict me of how the seriousness of self-examination. Because this joke really points to me about there are a lot of things we don't really know. A lot of circumstances we don't really understand or we'll never know. And also, a lot of people don't really know what's inside of them. We are more or less, I think, expect being fair, treated fair, and life to be fair. And besides, we are brought up that way. We are taught that way. If we try hard, okay, do what's right, live a clean life, and then things will go well. If I study hard and pass all the exams, I'll get a good job, I'll be able to get a house and have a car and get married, have wonderful children. A lot of parents told their kids, just like us, telling our daughters, that's the way it should go. But when they grow up and realize life is not always like that. Because on the other hand, we were taught when we are growing up thinking if we do wrong, we'll pay the price. Because even the Bible says in Proverbs 26:27 that whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. What does it mean? The meaning is clear that if a man does something wrong, then he will pay the price. So that's the morale. That's the key. So that's how we understand the world. If you plant the wrong seeds, you expect to reap the bad consequences. And Bible says, whatever a man sows, that he will reap, right? But in reality today, if you look around, it doesn't happen that way, does it? Life just doesn't seem to always work out to be fair. And that can be very frustrating. I think a lot of people, young people growing up, beginning, stepping into the world, into society, in the job market, look around and watch what happened around them, they will be frustrated. And for people who study the Bible also will find it a dilemma. Because in the New Testament, you got both Stephen and Paul, okay? Both of them being stoned, okay, by people, and they both a good guy, godly man, yet the result were quite different. Paul was healed, got up, carried on with his ministry, with his work, but Stephen was killed. He was the first martyr of the New Testament church. And that doesn't seem fair to a lot of people who maybe not too familiar with the Christian faith. Now, how about James and Peter? They were both thrown into jail. They had prison experience. Now, angel appeared, and then the angel helped Peter to escape. But the other, James, was beheaded. So think about if you're a child, when you're a child, your brother and sisters, they got a piece, bigger piece of the mooncake, you know, than you did. You say that's not fair. You know, I'm the eldest of the seven brothers and sisters in my family. I always got the smaller piece, always, because my mom always said, "You are the eldest, you have to share." Okay, be fair, share fairly, right? But no, I always got the smallest piece because I am supposed to have the smallest piece because I'm the eldest. Now, I don't understand that until now, okay? Or in the middle of a game, have you ever tried playing Monopoly with your children, okay? They always try to change the game when you win. You say that's not fair. Or the other way around, when they keep on winning, I want to change the games, to rule the games. Okay? That's, as life goes on, you see more and more unfairness. There are those who seem to do wrong, and yet they are richer than you. They got promoted ahead of you. At the same time, the hardworking, the solid guy in the company always receive, you know, bricks, better deals. Okay? And we read about people who were dropouts, who didn't finish high schools or any schools, they became rich and famous. What's happening? You know, just how fair life is supposed to be. Does the Bible address that? Yes. In this parable of the laborers' vineyard, Jesus was trying to correct that perspective, but not in a way that we wish it be. Now, if you look at the context of the parable, go back to chapter 19, and and realize the first word of chapter 20 is the word for. The word for is there for a reason, because it tells you why the parable is being told. So you go back to chapter 19 and you discover, oh, there were two things happened. One is a rich young man who was very rich, who did everything he thought, loving God, loving neighbors, he obeyed all the commandments. He wanted to inherit the eternal life. But then Jesus said, that's very good. But one thing you lack, okay, give away all your wealth and follow me. Now, on the surface, we think it's about money, okay? That Jesus wanted him to give a large amount of donation before he can be admitted into his discipleship program. But no, it's not that. The young rich man was so wrong in thinking he can earn his way into salvation by doing all the good things, even all the things that the Bible commands him to do. But Jesus corrects his perspective. No. You cannot earn your salvation. You can only come by following Jesus on his way to the cross, and after the cross, the resurrection, and receive this resurrected power, the life. Okay? You can only do that by surrender yourself and follow Christ all the way. That is the faith that will be blessed, will be in God, will be called, will be blessed with the righteousness in Christ. So, but the rich young ruler didn't get that. And then came Peter. He asked Jesus in chapter 19, verse 26. Peter said, "We have forsaken everything to follow you. What will we get?" And then Jesus explained to them, to Peter and our disciples, that you will gain eternal life. You will gain all the relationship so that you will be blessed with. Okay, all the spiritual relationship, horizontal, vertical. You got it. Okay. But then Jesus rebuked Peter, reminding him the attitude of serving. The last will be the first, but the first will be the last. And we wonder what Jesus is talking about. To explain that, Jesus told this parable of this laborer in the vineyard of God to give them the example and understanding about the right perspective. So in Matthew 20, we have this story. Jesus told about the workers in the vineyard. Now, we know the vineyard represents Israel in the Old Testament, representing the kingdom of God in the New Testament, in which church is the station that exemplifies this kingdom of God. The landowner is Jesus himself, the king of the kingdom. So the landowner went out, the story was told here in the parable, to the marketplace early in the morning. Now, if you were puzzled about this five sets of time, think about the Jewish day is from sunrise to sunset, okay? So 6 a.m. sunrise, 6 p.m. sunset. So then you realize what he's talking about, okay? So early in the morning is 6 a.m. The landowner went out to hire men to work in his vineyard. Now, he agreed to pay everyone one denarius for the day's work. Now, that is very decent pay, because there's a 1 day's pay for a Roman soldier. It's pretty decent pay, okay? And so he agreed to pay them one denarius for the day and send them to work. About the third hour, so 3 hours later, 9 a.m., he went out and saw other people, other men, laborers, waiting, standing, doing nothing in the marketplace, because they were looking for jobs. So he said, "You go to work in my vineyard also, and I'll pay you whatever is right." Now, this group of laborers, they trust the landowner to do what is right, to pay what is right. So they went in the vineyard and worked. And then the landowner went out at the sixth hour. That's the noontime. Okay? And then the ninth hour, the 3 p.m. And then lastly, the 11th hour, meaning 5 p.m. Because 12th hour would be the sunset, 6 p.m. So that's a large group of people. Because they were all standing there, as the landowner asked them, why are you standing there? They said, no one has hired us. Okay. So the landowner said, you go to work in my vineyard. I'll pay you what is right. And they trust him, and they did. So when evening came, after 6 p.m., everyone's job is done, and everyone's supposed to go home. So the landowner asked his foreman to call the workers together to pay them all the wages, beginning with the last groups, the last one hires, and then going to the first group. Okay. Now, the workers who are hired, the last group, at the 11th hour, it's 5 p.m., right? They came after working 1 hour. How much did they get? 1 day's pay, right? 1 denarius. And then came the workers that been working for just 3 hours, okay? They got also 1 day's pay. Now the man had been working for 5 hours, also received 1 denarius, 1 full pay. And then the fellow that worked all day, they came along. Oh, they're thinking, now we should get more than 1 denarius because we work all day, right? We start at the right beginning, right? So we should get a bonus or something. But what do you think happened? They got exactly the same amount as what the master, the landowner, has said. They would pay them early in the morning, the same pay as everyone else who started at 3 p.m., 5 p.m., you know, and worked 3 hours, 5 hours, 1 hour, same pay, right? That's the story. And did they like it? They didn't like it. They complained and saying, it's not fair. Now, the first look, you would say, oh yeah, I don't feel it's fair too, right? It doesn't seem very, very, very fair because we have one group of men who work just for 1 hour, another group who sweat all days throughout under the heat of the sun, and all of them get the same amount of money. It doesn't seem fair. But Jesus told this parable is steering our perspective to heavenward. There's another way to understand the story with a little background. Because the laborers in the marketplace looking for job, and the landowner went out to hire laborers. Now, this kind of situation was not uncommon in Bible days, especially in Palestine. Because the season, toward the end of September, okay, that was the grape harvest time. The grape was so ripened, and they need to be harvested. They need to be pulled in before the rainy seasons came along. So if the grape was not gathered before the rain falls, it will be ruined. So gathering the crop, the harvest of the grapes, was a race against time. So any worker was welcome. Any hour a worker could work is welcome, even if he could only give 1 hour of work. So the marketplace where they gather, like the Surface Ontario, like people looking for job, you know, in that place, any worker was welcome. Now this man has been standing there because they were desperate. They wanted work. They couldn't find job. Because if they couldn't find job, their families would starve. They could not, would find nothing to eat. So they would stand all day. They would travel to different villages to look for jobs, hoping against hope that someone would come along and hire them. Okay? Now, also another fact is, even slaves in those days were at least guaranteed one meal. But these men were dependent on just casual work and earn a living at its best to try to feed their families. So when we look at the story from that perspective, and from a group of people at 5 p.m., the landowner came along and hired them. How would they feel about the landowner? They would feel the generosity of the landowner, right? Oh, he's very kind. There's only 1 hour until sunset. He still wanted to hire us and pay us. He's very kind, right? It's a wonderful, wonderful act of deed because their families could have food to eat, would not go hungry. So it's possible that these workers have been to several villages, as I said, looking in vain for work. But from the workers that start at 9 a.m., the all-day workers' point of view, it was very unfair, right? And they quickly complain to express that. Now, what does it tell me and you? First of all, it tells us that we have a very limited concept, understanding of fairness in this life. We simply do not know the fact of a given situation. We don't know the situation of these different groups of people, their families, the burden, the pressure, all these facts. We don't know. The workers didn't know what's on the mind of this landowner. Okay, nothing but compassion. So life is like a jigsaw puzzle. A piece here, a piece there, a piece fits here, right? And then another. But we won't get a whole picture together except God and until eternity. So what lesson can we learn from this parable? What practical application we can help us to deal with what's seemingly unfair and unequal in life, and what would move us forward to trust God and be willing to work in his vineyard? Lesson number one is this, okay? Under the sun, life is never going to be fair. So accept it with faith in God. We must accept the fact, because since the fall of mankind, Genesis 3, sin comes into this world. And life, we see it since then on this earth, in this life, is all distorted. All the values go upside down. So life on this earth, in this life, will never be fair until Jesus comes again and set things right again. We simply would not be able to fit together all the pieces of puzzle down here for your life, for the life of your loved one, for everybody else around you. But it doesn't really matter at all, because the most important thing is that everyone does have a gift. Everyone was given a gift, a talent, a denarius. Everyone is given some a denarius to use. So each one of us is of value in the landowners, in God's sight, and has been given the most precious thing and is expected to use it. Therefore, what we need to do is to direct our energy toward God, away from measuring who has more gifts, who has more deals, who has more talents, who are more beautiful, who are more rich, more educated. We channel that, okay, to develop what God has given us. So that is the faithfulness that God expects us to live out our life. And in that story, in that parable, it addresses two questions. It's about the issues of the rich young man. You cannot inherit eternal life. It's a grace from God. Because no one can earn their salvation into the vineyard in the kingdom of God, except by the grace of the landowner who hired them. He's sovereign, okay, and he's compassionate. The second lesson is that God expects us to develop what we got, not with what we don't have. That's what Jesus emphasized in the parable, especially if you look further in Matthew 25, okay, about the parable of the talents. The man who doubled his 5 talents received the same instruction from Jesus as the man who has doubled his two talents. So the contrast of the rebuke given to the man who did not use his talent, buried it, thinking the master was a very cruel man, you know, is so crucial that we develop what God has given us and not wasting our lives on comparison and complaints. So how can we define in application what your delight is, what your talent is, and go on to develop it faithfully for God? If the delight represents the salvation by grace, then the life, the work in the vineyard, represents how you live out that testimony of the new life of the grace that God has entrusted to you. The first step is to prayerfully see what work in your life so far after you have become a child of God. What area of strength do you see that you have? What kind of interaction you enjoy? What energizes you? What motivates you? What inspires you the most? What draws the best out of you, the best to build up other people? Perhaps you like to teach. Perhaps you like to be a gracious host, a hostess, an encourager, maybe an administrator. If prayer is the area you feel drawn to, maybe that's the way that God wired you. After God saved you, He gave you this gift, this burden, this special talent. Or perhaps you sense God is giving you, calling you to give sacrificially above your tithe and offering in a special way. Okay? If you have difficulty identifying, okay, your gift, your talent, your special that God entrusts you, why not go to a friend? Go to someone whose opinion you can trust, ask them to help you, or you take an online inventory. There are a lot of them online about spiritual giftings. Okay? So one of the joy in life is this. We can discover new understanding about this abundant life, this eternal life that God has, by His grace, given us, and learn new things of all the things that, like flowers grown out of a seed, you know. Within each of us is that wonderful mix of unique shape, as Pastor Rick Warren often phrased it. Shape meaning S-H-A-P-E, skill, your heart, your ability, your personality, and your experience. That makes you very unique. That makes every child of God is so unique, okay? So God-given. So each of us have a life that could be rich, and that's growing until the day we die. Instead of agonizing and be frustrated on the inequalities, on the unfairness in life, in every circle, we can praise God in the fact that He's given us first eternal life, like an eternal seed, and then from it grow beautifully flowers and fruits. Okay, they are special and variable. Okay, the challenge is to trust, believe in God, obey Him, and act on something, and to develop what we got, and praising God along the way. Now, but I can remind you, it's very difficult. It's not easy. We have to rely on God in order to achieve that. Because in this old world, fallen world, tainted by sin, distorted by lies and deception, it always tend to be based on comparison, competitiveness, and pride. Isn't that right? Hockey score, you know, 3-1, a comparison, right? Football scores, you know, a comparison. Someone wins, someone loses. In school, there's first, second, and third, and they're losers, you know. Nowadays, we heard all this frequently about this term, losers. This is very discouraging. In cars, you know, everything in between. And you have these inequalities that are horizontal. But you have to remember, inequality under the sun on this earth, in this life, are all horizontal. Okay? But God calls you to follow Jesus, okay, to a different approach to living. If you want to avoid the pressure and the temptation that come from comparing, if you want to have a life that is abundant and characterized by godly balance of contentment and commitment, okay, and faithfulness and satisfaction and a sense of growth in life, that we must draw on the horizontal, our relationship with God, and on developing faithfully what God has given us, what God has graced us with. So be the person that God has made you in Christ. Discover it. Grow, develop it. Resist the temptation to be shaped by the world, like Romans chapter 12, verse 1 said, do not conform to the patterns of the world. Do not follow the thinking of this world. Do not be influenced by them, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Interaction with the Word of God, interaction with Holy Spirit in prayer time, interaction with the fellowship of fellow brothers and sisters in trying understanding about how to build up each other. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, good, pleasing, and perfect will, as Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 2 said. Then choose to develop what God has given you and to deepen that. So discover that, praise God for that vertical relationship, receive it with gratitude, develop it, and then it will grow fruit onto your horizontal relationship and gain the right perspective as we walk on this earthly journey following Christ. We will not be frustrated by the horizontal comparison and unfairness in this life. Because when these two attitudes of action come together, we recognize our quote-unquote delirious, this wonderful gift from the Master. And also we decide to develop our life, our gifts, everything that God has graced us with, to honor Him, okay? Without this obsession about comparison, of complaining or grumbling. And then we find the key to genuine fulfillment and satisfaction in life. Okay? Remember, in this life, we only see the tip of the iceberg. Okay? We only see a few pieces of the puzzle. So be gracious, be kind, be open-minded. Interaction with, be not judgmental about yourself, about others, but praise God, because He sees our future. He knows it all. He has the whole picture. He gifts us, and He loves us. So, as to Pastor, what about this injustice on earth, about this unfairness in life, about this inequalities in society? There will come a time. There will come a time when the wrongs will be righted, when the things will be put back together in the right way. We will see why life unfolded as we place our faith in God and follow Christ in this journey. Okay? In the meantime, don't expect fairness in this sin-tainted and distorted world. Okay? But it doesn't mean we are a passive bystander. Oh, I fold my arms and do nothing. No. Or being mean and grumble all the time, saying, oh, this world is going to fall apart. You know, I got nothing. I'm going to the edge of the world and build a hut and an island and live by myself. No. Not on that. We are placed in this world. We are placed in your circumstances, either your home, your school, your place of work, as light and salt, as ambassador of peace, as ambassador of reconciliation, of the gospel, of truth and love. So the solution to deal with that is to be strong, ongoing, to build vertical relationship with God in Christ, who enable us to say and have this right perspective about ourselves, that I'm gifted, right? I'm content. I'm not going to worry. I trust God. I don't envy about other people about getting more talents, more breaks, more deals, because I am a child of God. I'm going to be committed, focused on, concerning with, being the best in Christ to honor God. That's what I'm focused on. So we are called to be faithful. We are called to be the best possible for God. We are called to serve God and love others in a dynamic way and free from comparison and frustration. I've seen people in this world that have many gifts, many very talented, and they develop in the right relationship with God. And these are people are rich in Christ, okay? Or maybe they only have a few. They're not that smart. They're not that rich. They don't have all that it takes. But they develop good, strong relationship, vertical relationship with God. Either way, they are people who are rich in relationship. They are rich in influence. They are rich in their character and doing what is right, just like what Jesus promised Peter in response. What do you get by following Christ? You got the internal life. You got all the rich relationship that God will bless you with. You got to be rich in your character, in your personality, as God formed you in His image. Okay, so may God help us to be faithful, to use whatever God has given us, because everyone is unique. All He requires is to be faithful. Okay, seek the first kingdom of God. Start by seeking God's will and seeking God's mercy to reveal to you what He has given you to serve Him, to honor Him. Okay, remember, you are saved more than just to take a free ride to heaven, okay? But to expand the kingdom of God, to exemplify the truth and love of the gospel, and to bring people into a reconciliation relationship with the Heavenly Father. God puts you here on earth in your place for a purpose, and you have to be useful to His kingdom and His church. So open your eyes to see if anything you can do. If I bring it back to NCACS, it's a great church. It's a wonderful church. It's a gracious church. I love NCAC. You know, that's why I felt I was called to here. I'm not perfect, but I see a lot of people here. They're not perfect too. But they bring their best to serve God, to honor God. But I also see a lot of people who are just like those workers in the vineyard before being hired, just standing around doing nothing, just folding their arms and complaining, and always filled with frustration and negative emotion seeing things around them. That's not the way it should be in Christ. So open your eyes. See if anything you can do to help the church. Okay, even small things like serving the meals and putting chairs back together. Open your mouth to ask leaders. I think they will be happy to show you in ways that you can be helpful. Be active in seeking and praying, and you find one or two. Helping people, bring people to a right relationship with God. Okay, so get involved. Do something. Anything. In the vineyard. Even you are at 5 p.m. an old guy. He said, I'm an old guy. I'm at the last stage of the sunset in my life. I'm old. Or maybe you're young. I'm a 6 a.m. guy. I'm a 9 a.m. worker. No matter which stage of life you are in, okay, this is your church. This is your spiritual home. Okay? You're a member of the family, not a guest. Take steps. Okay? Nobody can do everything, and nobody has every gift. So we need each other to build this family of God, to exemplify, to let the light shine more brightly. The Lord will help you to see your faithfulness and your gratefulness. So look forward to the Lord's commendation when we see Him in heaven. Well done, good servant. Faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So prepare for that glorious day, for the return of the Lord Jesus. the gracious landowner, our gracious master, our Lord and Savior. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for correcting our perspective. We pray that your Spirit will continue to work in our lives. Help us not to conform, to be conformed with the influence of this world, but always seek you and your kingdom and look in your word and be transformed. Renew our minds, we pray, and bring our church to a level that will please you. Help us to become the man and woman of God in Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.